grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Dear Christian friends, palm trees make us think of a relaxing day at the beach. But was that day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem relaxing? Was it a welcome fit for a king? Some call today Jesus' triumphal entry, but I'm not certain whether the people back then would have agreed with that title. Jesus did not ride into Jerusalem on a strong-legged horse, and there was no red carpet, nor were the high people of society gathered around tipping their hats and their drinks to the king. Rather, this triumphal entry takes place on a donkey, a beast of burden, an animal of servants. There were no army of soldiers to greet and salute him, but instead a crowd of commoners came and, laying their coats before him, they offered Jesus their hosannas, waving their palm branches as the humble king rode in, non-aggressively, demonstrating with what kind of power he would triumph over the enemy. This kind of display looks and sounds weak. It's not very kingly, not very triumphal. There were no bodyguards for the king, no shield, no swords protecting him. Yet he rides into enemy territory, not in disguise, not incognito, not in a Trojan horse, not with a bomb strapped underneath his clothes. He's not a suicide bomber. So where is all the triumph for this king? All this he does is ride into Jerusalem passively and unprotected. Later this week, his disciples will have a moment of bravery when they think that Jesus is not doing the right thing. In a moment of bravery, when Jesus is allowing himself to be arrested, they pull out their swords and they start cutting off ears. But Jesus puts a quick halt to that. No more of that, he says. He who has an ear, let him hear. Even the enemies of God need to hear the good news. How can Jesus save anyone if his disciples start cutting off the very ears by which we come to faith? Faith comes by hearing. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. But notice he never said anything about the ears. Therefore, if your ear causes you to sin, you might just want to leave that one alone. You're going to need at least one good ear to hear the gospel, that Jesus has come to save sinners. Speaking of hearing, if you were in Jerusalem that week, you would have heard a mix of good and bad concerning Jesus' ability to triumph. The good started today, Palm Sunday, when the crowds came out with palm branches shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest!" But come back on Friday and you'll hear it bad. A different crowd yells, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Quite a contrast. You'll hear Pilate, the governor, ask this week, "Why? What has this man done? Why don't you just let me flog him and let him go? He doesn't seem to be a winner. He may be the Trinity, but he's not triumphant." Pilate's solution gets overrun by an ensuing riot. They yelled all the louder, "Crucify him! His blood be on us and our children! Crucify him!" This week, you hear the soldiers deride him. You hear Peter deny him. You hear a thief on the cross confide in him. You hear Jesus forgive them and give up his spirit. A centurion bystander gets the final word. Surely this man was the Son of God. However, this centurion may have inadvertently uttered the last lie of Lent. He was the Son of God? Was or is? Three offices that Jesus fills, we hear in Scripture. One is that of the prophet, the one who speaks the word of God. That of priest, one who makes sacrifices and prays on behalf of others. And finally, that of king, one who rules supreme. All three can be recognized during Holy Week, but today the one that stands out the most is king. The crowds greeting Jesus call him the Son of David. To think of Jesus as the Son of David is to relate him to the greatest king of the Old Testament. In a veiled kind of way, they were saying that this man riding on that donkey is the new king. The word they shout to him is Hosanna, which means help, I pray, and save, I pray. It is a cry out to the Lord requesting help and praying or even praising that man as someone who can. Help us, Jesus. But help us do what? Well, the world in their day was as much the same as ours, full of problems, storms, disasters, faltering economies, pain, injustice, suffering, aborted children, cancer, sudden and evil death, and violent outbursts. Can one man really help? Our world tends to pour our hope into men who can fill an office. Often our solution is, let's get new leadership. That'll fix it. We pour hope and even money into political candidates. Can Donald Trump save our economy? Or maybe Dave Ramsey? Can Mitt Romney or Rick Santorum turn the tide of our culture of death and bring back a culture of life? Who will save us? Who will rise up and deliver us? Who are we going to follow and offer our palm branches and shout to when they ride into D.C. on a Dodge Colt and with new furniture for the West Wing? Don't get me wrong. I share the hope that God would send good and faithful leaders who can rise up and not simply do and say the right things, but also capture the hearts and the minds of people and show them a more excellent way, lead us towards a common good. But I also, with divine conviction from God's word about Jesus, recall that the only leader who can truly save us, not just from a culture of death, but from death itself, is the man who rode into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, who was born not of the will of man, but of the will of God, who was, in fact, God himself in human flesh and blood, who entered into his capital city of his day not to fight or to debate or to win an election, but to humbly empty himself, not counting equality with God as a thing to be clung to or to be grasped, as our text says, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and trusting only that the Father would raise him from the dead on the third day. A man who believes our world needs more than a band-aid and a temporary fix. It needs a death and a resurrection. It needs a greater flood than Noah's to drown the problems and remake the world better than before. And that flood is baptism for the remission of our sins. Was Jesus a prophet? You bet. Was he a priest? Definitely. But today we praise Jesus as the king who can do the thing that no other politician can do, and that's make peace with God by the blood of his cross. Well, if he's the king, then where's the kingdom? Is it here? Is your kingdom here with all the glory of winning and making a name for yourself and building up treasures here on earth? Or is your kingdom with Christ? Does it take on the posture of drowning in baptism and rising up as a new man who is created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we might walk in them come hell or high water? Is your kingdom here, hidden behind your neighbor in need, and also up in heaven, where the glory of God is revealed by Christ's triumphal scars that he endured for you? Well, if it is, then you'd best pony up your palm branches today and offer them in thanks to the King who comes to save us. Offer him your coats, because he takes them and washes them in his own blood. Offer him your hosannas, because only God can help and does help and has helped by sending us his Son to save us from sin, from death, and the evil one, such that nothing separates us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. In your minds, welcome Jesus to Jerusalem for his final week's work of triumphing over to the temptation to turn back and to leave us all in sin. And in your hearts, welcome Jesus who comes still today with his crucified body and his blood, both in word and under the bread and the wine, to forgive and to show how he rules triumphant as king, not just with justice and an iron fist, but with mercy and compassion, and the cross as the gift of peace for sinners like you and me. He didn't ride into Jerusalem on a horse, but on a servant's mule, because he came to serve us with his life. And so forget about going to the beach this week, and instead come to God's house to hear the rest of his triumph. I dare say that there is no better week to pick up your cross and follow with open ears and with open mouths that cry, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus, our King. Amen.